All my friends are leaving. Boy, great song that Shelley sang about the Lord coming and what He could do for our hearts. Appreciated that very much. Thank you. And the word this morning about the love of God endures forever, and how wide and long and high and deep it is, wherever our hearts have roamed in our short lifetime, God is certainly able to meet us where we're at and work through us to be a blessing to others. So take heart and have faith in the Lord. He loves us very much, and that love is life-changing. I think one of the best Christmas verses in the Bible is probably one of the most familiar ones, not exactly focused on the birth of Christ, but it's a Christmas verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And when God gives, He gives His best. He gives His heart. He gives of Himself. And when you think of the different plight our soul experiences in life, you might think, what do people really need? If we needed to be more intelligent, would God just send us wisdom? But we may need to be a little more intelligent, but that's not our biggest need, that's for sure. How about to get more organized? That's a fun thing that I try to tackle at different times in my life, and all the new gadgets that are invented, it seems, every year are an opportunity to become more efficient, more speedy in our work, to work smarter and not necessarily work harder, all those kind of factors. But it's really not more organization that we need in our soul to help us. When God saw our plight, He knew we needed love. So He sent Christ. Our biggest sin was we didn't know how to love. Didn't know how to love God. Didn't know how to love other people. That was our biggest need. And so Christ sent from the Father's heart because of God's love. People's souls are broken not because of lack of resources or information, but because of lack of love. That's what hurts us the most. And so what are you going to get for Christmas this year? Any packages of love that may change your heart? I looked on the internet trying to get used to that thing. And the top gifts for 2008 for some of the little ones. These are some of the ones that, if we were 4 and 5, we could have maybe received. Smarty Bears, Elmo Live. Here's a one that's been around since my childhood. Mr. Potato Head in various forms. My Biscuit Loving Dog. That's a fun one just to hear about. Giddy Up and Go Pony. That's huge. And this is kind of creative and down to earth, I guess. Baby Learns to Potty. That's big. For older young ones, Cranium Hullabaloo, whatever that is. Wild Planet Hyper Dash. Nothing like overselling it with the words. And then Guitar Hero. Apparently that's, if you have that, talk to me about that. That's supposedly popular with anybody from age 12 to 40-year-olders. Some of you may play it at home. But what is God getting you for Christmas this year? Now, that would be something to say. I kind of know what my loved one's going to get me, but what is God going to get you for Christmas this year? What would He like to give you? It might be a surprise for us to know that if you ask people in the world, what would you like for Christmas, if they were honest deep down in their soul, most people would probably say, I would like love. That's what I would really like for Christmas. I would like love. A.W. Tozier, a very strong, committed Christian man, once said this about love. He said, I'm determined to love everybody, even if it kills me. Well, there was a man who recognized his limitations. There's certainly the limitations of his love, and often the lack of it. The novelist Dostoevsky, in a book called Brothers Karamazov, one of his main characters kind of agrees with Tozier, main character Ivan. He says about loving people, he says, loving people is the most difficult thing in the world to do. Again, realizing his own limited fuel tank of love. He said, that's the most difficult thing in the world to do. He said, people throw garbage in your yard. They're pushy and generally unkind, and they give off bad odors. That was his reason for not loving people, or at least having a hard time to. You might say, well, love in an unconditional manner, this, the kind of love that was at Bethlehem, seems almost impossible unless God comes to Bethlehem and unless God comes to your heart and my heart. So what's God going to give you for Christmas? Must be a gift that we need if he's going to give us the big one, the big gift. I know the young people in their activities on Wednesday, they had the white elephant gift thing, and some were little boxes, some were huge boxes, and they all laughed at how the gift just didn't hit what they needed. But the Bible says this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through Christ. So if your heart and my heart are going to come alive with love, it's going to have something really big to do with Jesus. That's where we're going to find love for the ache in our heart. That God would say to us, I love you personally. If there was nobody else in the world to love, I would love you. I would be committed and faithful to you with that love. And the love is centered in my Son. And one of the best things we could do at Christmas time is to ask for the gift. Ask for the gift you need the most, you know, if anybody would do that. Instead of, you know, climb up on Santa's lap and say, he says, I still remember doing that at the mall or wherever I was. And what would you like for Christmas, son? And I told him. He must have told my parents because I got some of that. But instead of climbing up on Santa's lap, climb up on Jesus' lap. And Jesus said, and what would you like for Christmas, my loved one? And if we say, Lord, I'd like you. I'd like your love. One of the best things we could do, I think, at Christmas is to say, help, Lord, I need love. Help, Lord, I don't know how to love. Help, Lord, I don't know how to love you. So I definitely won't be able to love anything or anyone you've made in a proper way. And God is willing to give us that gift we don't have. How can the gift of Jesus' love change your life? Three stories of people I know who they've all been through various valleys, and God's love has pulled them through and changed their life. And maybe you can identify with one of the three or all the three. And if there's no major trials or difficulties in your life at this time, and maybe you're filled with kind of a natural joy or love already, I would say Christ can make you even more joyful and loving than you already naturally are. That's his gift to us. And again, to admit, if we don't have the love or the resource, say, Lord, help. I don't know how to love. He certainly will supply that need. But the first man whose life was changed, I remember a while back, was a motorcycle enthusiast named John. John attended church occasionally. He had a heart open to Christ, but not real close. Well, at the age of about 25, he was in a terrible motorcycle accident and lost his leg and suffered with bone infections for quite a while, put a great strain on his health, put a great strain on his marriage. And so John, you know, loved motorcycle riding so much, and that was his life pretty much. And he felt like he lost his purpose, not being able to ride the motorcycle. Did you ever have a dream that you thought, now this is really great, this is what I want to survive, this is what I want to make my life fulfilled and full of joy, and then sometimes that dream is not there. And you think, oh boy, now what do I do? When our dreams die, you know, God has a, we start to look at the better dream God has for us. And it really has a lot to do with him. He ends up being the main character and focus of the dream. For John's life, he saw no purpose in life, no reason to get out of bed. Something he loved to do was taken away at a young age. He started to read the New Testament pretty much on his own. Still didn't become a churchgoer yet. And by reading about Jesus and what Jesus came to do, John found a dream bigger than the great enthusiasm he had for motorcycle riding. He said he found that Christ loved him in his broken plight and gave him a purpose, you know, to get out of bed, gave him a purpose to begin to connect with his family again and life, and even think about work, and even thinking about, well, maybe I can ride a motorcycle again someday. It won't be the same way that I did before, but maybe it'll be a better way even than I did before. It was God's love that changed a life and gave purpose to a person. And if you have maybe lost your way or lost a purpose, if you could hear God say, I love you, and my son shows you that, that you pick up the purpose of following Christ. And God has a great purpose for you, an eternal purpose, a good purpose. He so loved you that he might give Christ to you. Second man I know is a pastor in the local area. He shared this at one of the pastor's meetings, and he meant it to be redemptive, and it was a good story. He said he grew up in a home that had a lot of lack in it, both lack in terms of resources and people reaching out to him. He basically, mom and dad pretty much couldn't make it. They kind of left him, and so he ended up in foster care for most of his growing up days. And the foster care was some good and some not so good, depending on the family he was in there. And he said one particular year was really, really hard because as a child, you get used to whatever's going on. But he couldn't get used to this. He really hated cheese and he really hated mustard. But the foster family didn't have much. And so every day they gave him cheese and mustard sandwiches, and off to school he goes. He said that was the longest year of his life. You know, now, he didn't know if he was loved, and yet he had to eat or try to eat this that he didn't care for at all. Maybe he really didn't care for it because of the brokenness around him. But there was a teacher in his school who noticed his, just the way he carried himself and lack of joy at lunch and all that. And so she would get him a carton of milk every day. She'd say, here you go. We have extra milk, and this is for you. And she did that consistently, 5 days a week, faithfully, all year. And he was in grade school, so I asked him the question, did you see that as an act of compassion, or did you think I was just a bunch of milk and they're passing it out to everybody? He said, no, even as a child, I knew this teacher was doing that because she loved me. And he said, that made my year a year of knowing God's help, knowing God's help. And he looked back at that simple act of love as a knock on the door of his heart that, hey, your loved ones may have forgotten you. See, but God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten you. And he's reaching out to you through this simple act. And his life was changed, of course, and he went on to become a pastor, and he likes to tell people about Christ and his love. Because he knows in a world that we live in, many, many times, a soul will feel forsaken or in a trapped condition that they cannot escape from. And yet God will come through with a message. He so loved the world, he gave. He gave Christ. And so God will do that to you, for you, if you feel forsaken by loved ones. And the third person changed, having to end up on the mission field. Boy, again, a solid Christian, still growing kind of Christian. That's what makes him solid, probably. And he said, sometimes I don't feel like I should be a missionary, because in his own words, he said, I feel so ashamed of how little I love God and how little I love my family. I mean, that was occasionally the condition of his soul. He felt a sense of alienation and shame and distance from God. And he didn't know what to do about that other than talk to the Lord. And yet he continued to serve, and God used him to bring fruit both from his life and in the life of others. So, and he said what he learned was, in spite of the limitations he had, with the limitations he had, he found the grace of God. In fact, because he was limited, he said that he knew he needed God very much then. And God came through for him. And he continues to serve very well on the mission field and share the abundant love of God that, again, he recognized he didn't have on his own. He needed it as a gift. And God was faithful to supply. And so, what is God going to give us for Christmas this year? It'll really be centered around his son. It'll really be centered around our deepest need. The need to love God. The need to love other people. To receive that love into our own soul. And Paul describes the immensity of that love in case we think, well, I don't know if it could reach me. You know, maybe it reached in the past, but those days are long gone. But Paul said it's wide enough. It's wide. Consider how wide the love of Christ is. Wide enough to embrace the whole world or to pick up the pieces of your scattered soul. That's how wide it is. Long enough to last forever. We're thankful for that. No trial can wear it out. No age in our own spirit or body can make it not count. That's how long it is. How high is it? It's high enough to take sinners to heaven. So there's an assurance for you and I. High enough to take sinners to heaven and deep enough to reach the most lowly person on their knees. The deep, high, wide, long love of Christ. And what do? You ask for him. You pray for him. You say, Lord, I know what I need for Christmas. Thank you for the gift of love. Help me to unwrap it. Share it with others. Ask, and God will pour out his love into your hearts by his Holy Spirit. And might we know the love of Christ this Christmas season. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the evidences of your care all around us. And whether it's a friend who whispers a prayer toward us or a close loved one who just smiles and we feel so blessed just to be around them. Or, Lord, maybe it's an opportunity we have to reach out to a stranger to give an act of compassion. And in that, we meet you, Jesus. You're the stranger in our midst many times. So this, and most of all, Lord, we meet you in Bethlehem and at Calvary and then the risen Lord that you are. Might your great love be a life changer for us now and during every season of the year. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Get to sing about the Lord's goodness and to praise his name as his people.